You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
You're listening to the smooth night sounds of the Liberty Cats. You Hep Cats and Swing Kittens, pull up your beanbag. Put on your beret. Grab that electric pipe. Put on that smoking jacket. And put your cat in your lap, because it's time for your daily injection of furry love. Now here's the granddaddies of hip and everything cool, Brian Hagen and Taryn P. Lupo.
Meow, and if there's one thing I love to inject, it's catnip. There's no need just to eat it or to have it in a little play ball or anything. I like to just go ahead and mainline that shiznit right into my main line in my vein. I am Brian Hagen, one of the Liberty Cats, along with
Taryn P. Lupo, and I go freebase style with my catnip.
That is so funny, because I was just going to ask you this. I remember that it was some years ago, Taryn, that you really pulled the Richard Pryor setting your hair and beard on fire while you were freebasing the catnip, and you went running down the street wearing...
I forgot all about that.
Oh, I know you did, but I'm not going to let you forget, man, because that was a really, really harsh time. You were at the lowest of the low at that time, freebasing catnip on a regular basis. You were wearing a polyester robe, and it melted right to your body. How horrible.
Oh, do you remember how many people's hair used to catch on fire in the 80s when they were wearing Activator?
Yes.
All right, for you, since, again, all of our listeners are underage girls, what happened was in the 70s, end of the 70s and 80s, there were these products that were mainly black people used them to make their hair shine. And they were like Soul Glow, and it was called Activator. You'd spray it in, and it would I don't even know how to describe it better than that. It would kind of just make it greasy looking,
mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, wasn't that the point of it?
Yeah, exactly the point. Couldn't you do like Jerry curls with it and everything?
Yeah, you got it, Jerry curls. Well, the problem was, I think there was some sort of alcohol base in these things because they lit on fire a lot. And if you remember, let's see if Brian remembers, who's the famous person that got their hair caught on fire in the Pepsi commercial?
Michael Jackson.
Because he was wearing
the Activator.
Too much Activator.
Yeah, exactly.
For you guys that did not know that, when we were kids, Michael Jackson did a Pepsi commercial where there were fireworks on the stage behind him and some sort of thing, I guess some pyrotechnic disaster happened in his hair and it caught on fire. And it gave us... Oh, my God. It gave us hundreds of Michael Jackson jokes.
Yes, it did.
We made fun of that for years.
I would have been in, I think, third grade when that happened. And I remember, I don't even think most of us kids got the Michael Jackson jokes, but we heard them from, like, our parents or older siblings or older relatives or something. So we're telling all these. And they were racist. I mean, let's face it. They were racist jokes.
Oh, man. And do you remember... when the space shuttle blew up, how many jokes there were about that?
Oh, yes, I sure do.
When the Challenger blew up in 86, I don't even think people waited like a week or two before the joke started. They were so bad.
We were a different people back then. We were all jacked up on cocaine. Nothing was too soon because life was moving so fast. We didn't take time to mourn. We just kicked right into the jokes.
It was the me generation. You could get away with being completely selfish and making jokes about disaster within a week.
Well, it was
no grace period.
It was the age of Rodney Dangerfield. You know, we were all like that. Hot, sweaty, coked out of our head, not caring what anybody thought. The only thing we cared about was ourselves.
Oh, man. And Rodney Dangerfield's one of my all-time favorite comedians.
Can't get no respect.
I remember... Huh?
Can't get no respect.
Yeah, you get no respect. If you guys never seen him, some of you younger viewers, this guy, which I guess he had some sort of hypothyroid because his eyes were gigantic. Mm-hmm. You could see they were popping out of the sockets. And he would always make just a ton of really funny one-liners. And he kind of got his start on Carson. They let him keep coming on Carson over and over until finally someone gave him a break and put him in a Caddyshack movie, the first Caddyshack movie. And if you watch the interviews with the Caddyshack, he actually shows up at set his first day, does a couple lines of cocaine before he walks on, like openly. Like, so he's sitting at a table offering other people lines of cocaine before he gets on and does his set piece, you know, his first acting gig, and he doesn't know how anything works. He's like on set going, what? I don't have to, what? I stand and I do a line? You know, he didn't understand acting at all. All he understood was stand-up comedy. And so he didn't get it. And they were talking about how just openly abused, like, he didn't care at all, like, that they were filming. He threw a party right on set. Like, you can never get away with that stuff now. There's no way.
No, you could not. Yeah, I've read, like, I can't remember, one of the actors from the film wrote a whole, like, tell-all biography of the making of Caddyshack. And, yeah, it was just, like, one big coked-out orgy party. They never went to bed. You know, Bill Murray's up with, like, 15 women all night long.
Well, there was also they rented, like, I guess it was a whole hotel where it was filmed at behind it. So all day long, everybody had their own room, and they just partied unless you were actually being, you know, on set, where normally actors have, like, trailers, and you sit around and watch the filming, and there was none of that. There was a bunch of drunken comedians coked out. They couldn't even get them to come on set. They were yelling at them, and they wouldn't leave the hotel room. So must have been a great time to make a movie.
Well, and Rodney Dangerfield, though, I mean, he was just absolutely brilliant, and he was responsible for breaking the careers of so many great comics. You know, I bring this up because I don't think that anything is more expressive of our First Amendment in a tangible way than comedy. We've watched great comics come under fire. I did a show when I was back doing the Fajita Funtime show. I did a whole episode devoted to Lenny Bruce, who I really think was a father of free speech for comedians. And then you've got a guy like Rodney Dangerfield who comes up, you know, some years later and breaks big the comedians like Sam Kinison. Remember Kinison?
Oh, yeah. He was on fire when he came on the scene. He was huge for a while. He was Married with Children.
Yes.
And of course, you know, I guess the very first thing I saw him in was that Rodney Dangerfield movie, Back to School.
You are exactly right. He played the professor, the angry Vietnam professor. Oh, 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 oh!
Yeah, that's right. He was having the Vietnam flashbacks while he was asking questions.
Yeah, in the classroom. Yeah, I love Sam Kinison.
Oh, do yourself a favor. If you've never seen Back to School, it's probably one of the funniest movies made in the 80s. I think I must have watched it 100 times.
Oh, me
I
too.
Love that movie.
Well, and I think what's so funny is it's weird how things all link back, but there's a direct link from that movie to the Liberty Movement, because Sam Kinison, when he started out, you know, he was from Texas. His really good friend and his touring buddy was none other than Bill Hicks. And as we know today, Alex Jones is Bill Hicks, because Bill Hicks never died. And as we know, Bill Hicks explored a lot of very controversial topics in his stand-up humor, talking about the puppets at the top, that, you know, with the president being nothing more than a puppet and the puppet masters above him pulling the strings. So he was addressing, like, the Illuminati. He was addressing, like, the Bilderberg Group. And then he decided there was only so far he could go with his stand-up career. So what he did was he faked his own death. He then hooked up with the CIA. They gave him some sort of a plastic surgery makeover and put him back out on stage as Alex Jones.
This is a pretty prominent theory. By the way, John, even though Brian's addressing this, there are really people out there that believe this.
They really do.
A lot of people that think that that he's just a big CIA plant. And for you guys that have no idea what we're talking about, Brian just assumes you know who Alex Jones is.
And Bill Hicks.
And Bill Hicks.
I figure everybody's as brilliant as I am, Darren. That's what it is.
you gotta carry the audience here little bit.
What you have to do when you're listening to the Liberty Cats is have Wikipedia at your fingertips.
Or you're going to miss about half our jokes.
Right. You're
just
not going to get it.
You know who's a comedian that I was actually surprised at was George Carlin. I had no idea how libertarian he was until after he was dead and I was seeing clips on YouTube.
You know, I'm
like,
the same.
At the time, I had no clue he was that libertarian.
I did not. I remember, you know, growing up, it was a huge deal when George Carlin would have one of those HBO specials. I don't know if you remember that. It was like George Carlin on Broadway or George Carlin on this.
A little bit. Yeah.
It was huge in the 80s for whatever reason. And I just kind of took him for granted. He dressed horribly. He wore like turtleneck sweaters and just like leotards or whatever. And I thought he was just another run-of-the-mill, you know, spinoff of the Bob Hopes and that kind of comedy. But you're right, Tara. And you listen to him now, these years after he's died, and then you realize that he was really touching on hot topics of liberty. You know, how our education system has failed us and it's nothing but an indoctrination mill. How those at the top don't really care about us. We're actually just their slaves. It's amazing this many years later after his death, George Carlin, and many years after, even when he was alive, he was dead because he made that horrible sitcom on Fox. It was on Sunday night, so really, Carlin had died even before he died.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, but if you go back to that like 70s period, man, he was just on fire.
And that's the thing is he got really popular and then used a platform where it doesn't even sound like comedy. He was just getting up there spouting off about the government.
Yes!
And I was like, how did he get away with this? It was awesome.
To a certain degree, he was like Alex Jones with a punchline.
Because he
really dug deep into the conspiratorial side of things.
Yeah, if you get online now and you search on YouTube, you'll find that he's got some great stuff that you've never heard.
Yeah, wonderful stuff. I spend a lot of time doing that when I have time alone. When I'm not watching George Carlin, I'm watching other videos on my time alone. That could make for a whole episode of this show sometime. Hey, we are the Liberty Cats. We got to take a quick break and pay some bills. But we're going to be right back. Taryn has a really interesting story for us, so hang on for that.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
In a world where freedom is fun and everything you thought you knew is wrong, two unlikely voices rose up from the noise. From the minds that brought you Fajita Fun Time and Wheels Off Liberty comes the Liberty Cats. Darren P. Lupo and Brian Hagen,
you know,
just in time to save us all.
Sorry to cut that guy off there for a second there, Taryn, but I don't quite understand why he thinks it's a good thing that our show comes from the minds that brought us Wheels Off Liberty and Fajita Fun Time.
Well, to be honest, Mike and Jamie ran Wheels Off Liberty. Although I was on there for a while as a third wheel, I did write some of the comedy on that. So I can say yes from the mind of one of the Wheels Off Liberty people. But again, it's funny. There used to be a show for you guys that don't know called Wheels Off Liberty. And it arrived at the right time. Podcasting was still really hot. There was no Liberty comedy shows. And it just blew up. Like, we got awesome ratings. And I don't know if that would happen again. I think the podcasting days have kind of come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of more 2008, 2009.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I don't know if it would blow up again, but it was such a fun show to do that people still talk about it 5 years later. And they only had 100 episodes. And about 10 of those episodes were cheesy clip shows, the best of. So
that's right.
Well, really maybe 90 shows.
Mike Maddox and Jamie Crane are the two individuals you're talking about, and both of them are Okies. So basically they are redneck, not real bright, and frankly, pretty darn mean. I remember on the show, they said some very hurtful things to you sometimes, Taryn.
Oh, they were brutal. I was, I guess, better off as the straight man, you could say, which is kind of silly that I was the least funny on there, I guess, if you could say it that way.
Well, you loved animals.
They were just so out of control.
You loved animals. They love animals if those animals are in their belly. So
yeah,
I know
they're
that
hunters and rednecks, and
yeah,
they don't make any apologies.
And it's really, really sad. You know, I mean, I have nothing against hunting or whatever, but, you know, frankly, you don't have to eat squirrel soup every single day, and they do. And it just sickens me sometimes when I see this, and I come from a redneck background, but I see this redneck culture out there where all they do is go out and bop squirrels in the head and kill them to make soup. And I'm like, what has that squirrel ever done to you? And it just, frankly, Taryn, I'm not calling for a law. I'm not calling for those idiots at PETA. I'm just calling on all of our brothers and sisters to think for one moment those squirrels are our friends and there's no need to kill them for soup.
I appreciate that because I'm actually, for people that know me, I won't kill anything. Like if I had to hunt my own meat, I would be a vegetarian in a minute. I could never kill anything. I'm very, very passive in my life in that sense. And I've been making a move slowly to become a vegetarian. I've been eating less and less meat. For that reason, but it's hard when you've grown up for 40 years and you're addicted to it. And there is definitely an addiction to meat for sure.
Oh boy. I know I'm a meat addict.
And it's tough because I look at a meal and I'm like, well, there's no meat in this. It's incomplete. You know, it's like, and I'm thinking to myself, that is so unnatural. Our natural state, we would never have meal, you know, meat at every single meal. We would have it, you know, as hunter gatherers, if you caught something and you were lucky enough, you could get it, you know, once every few weeks. But mainly you're eating berries and nuts and whatever you can dig up off the ground, you know. And so the more you get back to that natural diet, the healthier you'll be. That's part of it. And also, you know what, after I got off meat and then came back on, it makes you feel like crap. Like when you eat it, it really feels toxic kind of. So it's actually more of a health reason too. Besides, I like cute furry things. It's just, it's starting to weigh on my conscience, you know?
You know, I understand that completely, but I am a very big meat eater. And it was just over the course of a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to run this by you. I've been trying to make some changes in my life, and what those changes are specifically, I don't know, and I'm not doing very good with it. But anyway, one night I went to the grocery store, and they had steaks on sale because it was the day-old meat. So I took those steaks and I bought one and it was huge for $5. Well, tell me that's not a great deal because I was able to eat two meals. If I wasn't so gluttonous, I probably could have had three meals out of this steak. Well, I take the steak, I wrap it in bacon. I mean, just I pull a full on like bacon wrap around this steak and then I grill it until it's just pink and juicy. And then I eat this thing. But you know what I found, Taryn? I found right then and there just kind of the effects of meat. I was so constipated, my friend. I felt I was having a baby.
You're pretty much pooping glue at that point. You know, it's tough. The way it really breaks down, because I have a lot of comparative anatomy classes, and I studied animals and humans. And the way it works is things that eat meat, meat's very, very toxic. It needs to get out of your system fast. So animals that eat a lot of meat, like a cat, has a very short digestive system. Their intestines are short and fast, and that meat doesn't stay in there long at all. It's out. Mm. And that's kind of why dogs always eat cat poop, is because it's very undigested. It goes right through the system, and there's still a lot of protein in it.
Oh, I'm making notes to myself.
Animals
and cat poop.
That
okay.
live on just grass, like cows and rabbits – rabbits have a very, very long intestine because the grass takes forever to break down and it has to go through a bunch of enzyme washes. Humans are in between. They're not supposed to be meat eaters and they're not supposed to be grass eaters. They're actually fruit eaters. Their intestines are set up to pretty much eat fruits and nuts. And same with your teeth. Your teeth are pretty much designed to eat fruits and nuts, not really so much meat. You don't have the big, sharp, you know, dog, like a dog's teeth and look at yours. So although we can, people describe humans as omnivores, yes, you can be an omnivore, but if you were absolutely looking for the healthiest diet, it's really pretty much fruits and vegetables is what you're supposed to be eating to match your body chemistry. The problem is we've grown up where everybody eats meat and it's a normal thing and you're looked at as like some crazy person if you don't.
Well, here's the problem. I've been trying to eat a lot of salads lately, and I've been making one salad after another. But here's the rub, Taryn. I then proceed to put lots of meat on top of that salad. Because
it's always like the people I know that go on the diets, and they're like, oh, I'm eating nothing but salads. And you watch them pour half a thing of dressing on.
It's guilty. Like, guilty.
Like, the dressing is nothing but sugar and oil. But, well, you know, but it's salad. It's like you're just using it as a sugar delivery device.
That's what my friend John always said that to me. I remember years ago I went on this kick, and I was going to eat all salads. And he goes, look at you. You just use the salad as a method to deliver the dressing. And I go, yeah, what's wrong with that? He's like, You're not doing any good for yourself by doing that. I have a love for French dressing. That is my favorite dressing, Taryn. Like, well, I can almost drink that
stuff.
I
don't know if that has sugar in it or not. It's the carbs that get you in it. The oils aren't unhealthy, actually. The oils are mostly pretty good unless there's some weird plant, you know. But the oils aren't as bad as you think. It's the ones that make the sugary stuff. I think like a lot of ranch has sugar and a lot of but if you go like a vinaigrette, you're usually good to go. You can pig out on that.
Yeah, but the French is really thick and definitely very, very sugary. It's that orange kind. I like to take it and just like pour it all over the. I'll be honest with you. I've actually been doing a lot better. I've actually been cutting down even on the French dressing.
Is that the same dressing that's the secret ingredient on Big Macs?
No, that's Thousand Island.
Thousand Island. I knew it was one of them. I thought it was some sort of orange.
Well, and now even that depends on what time of the night, because sometimes if you order like at 1 o'clock in the morning at McDonald's, I think the dude's making that Thousand Island dressing in the back room, if you know what I'm talking about.
I wouldn't doubt. There has got to be so many horror stories from... I don't even really want to think about anything that goes on in fast food.
Oh, me either.
Have you ever worked in fast food?
No, I have not.
I had a friend that worked in fast food, and we used to go hang out because at the afternoons he would go on where there was no manager on his shift, and he would feed us all. It's like we'd come in and eat illegally, pretty much.
Nice.
I'm real proud of my youth. Right? we would show up in Mooch at Hardee's. It was a Hardee's.
Oh, and, Hardee's.
And the stuff, I mean, basically he would shut down and we would just have a party in the back and there'd be like customers out front waiting. We're sitting there cooking a burger with like 20 pieces of bacon and the biggest, you know, the biggest Hardee's burger you've ever seen, like 5 patties. You know, it was so bad.
This sounds like an episode of Workaholics, man. That's exactly what this sounds like.
If y'all haven't seen Workaholics, you need to stop after our show and go look up Workaholics on Amazon, or I think it might even be on Netflix, some of them. It's a show that's basically about my whole college experience.
Yes, most definitely. Everybody's high, everybody's drunk, and everybody's extremely inappropriate.
And all they do is stupid things all the time.
All the time.
It's such a great show.
It's a lot.
Don't watch it around the kids.
No, it's a lot like the Liberty Cats. Hey, we're glad to have you here on this Tuesday. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Go ahead, jump in the cat box for just a moment, and we'll return in just a moment. Hang on.
Hi, this is Taryn Lupo from Liberty Cats. I've been buying gold and silver for over 20 years. I've made some good buys, and I've made some poor buys. Most of the time, the prices and markups were too high from the companies I found. Other times, I was tricked into buying fake gold and silver. There's a large learning curve to becoming a good buyer when you're trying to figure it out all on your own. The good news is I finally found someone I trust, who is affordable and private. For the last few years, I've only purchased my precious metals from Roberts & Roberts. They make it easy, fast, and discreet. Everything I've ever purchased has been excellent quality at an excellent price. I publicly vouch for the folks at Roberts & Roberts that they'll give you a square deal. Right now, prices on silver are ridiculously low, and it's a great time to buy. Check out Roberts & Roberts.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grand Wizards of Funk, the Liberty Cats. These hemp caps know how to drop such a furry and funk-tastic rhythm you'll be solid all night long. You job hustlers, go get your boots on, flip your grip, and be swelligant to each other. Now, here's the bucket from Nantucket, Brian Hagen, and the Lothario from Ontario, Taryn P. Lupo.
That's right, and we are just funking it up. We are your funk masters. We are your Liberty Cats. Oh, baby, so good to have you here. My name is Brian Hagen. Along with me is my old partner,
Taryn P. Lupo, so solid.
Oh, yeah, baby. You're like the king of soul.
I love blaxploitation movies. Love them.
Me
Every
too.
Halloween I get ready because they're used to show, like, a bunch of them in a row. And my favorites were always Blackula. I don't know if you've ever seen Blackula.
I've seen Blackula. Yes, that thing is just, it's a train wreck, and that is brilliant.
And then what's the other one? is it Sing Blackula Sing or Scream Blackula Scream?
Yeah, that
Scream
one.
Scream Blackula, and it was and you know what's funny is the guy that was Charles Marshall, right? Is the actor, he was like a Shakespearean actor. There's a very accomplished man. And I think he was the grandfather on The Cosby Show.
Oh,
and he
yeah.
was also the king of cartoons on Pee-wee Herman.
Oh, that's right. That was him, wasn't it?
The king of cartoons.
I loved
the serious Shakespearean actor used to come on Pee-wee Herman and be like, "Here's your cartoon," and he'd show a black and white cartoon.
I loved my
Playhouse
Saturday morning for Pee-wee's Playhouse. Man, I have always said that Paul Reubens, the man who to this day portrays Pee-wee Herman, is one of the brilliant minds of my generation.
Yeah, he's still keeping it going. And a few years ago, he actually brought back Pee-wee's Playhouse as a play.
Yes.
So all of it was on a stage in New York, and I think it did really well, if I remember right, for a bit. I don't know how long it went, but Pee-wee's Playhouse, I actually did I still have them. I still have it on video somewhere. But, man, they were great, and they were very, at the end, got kind of innuendo-y.
Oh, boy, did they ever.
Miss Yvonne, there was a tramp that dated everyone. Miss Yvonne always, like any new guy that would come on, she would always try to get his phone number, flirt mm-hmm. with him. And she was very trampy. And but she would always come out like in a big Victorian dress and a bouffant hairdo. And Miss Yvonne, at the end, they started, I guess Pee-wee just didn't care anymore. He's like, oh, no one's watching my last season, whatever. And they were making all these sex jokes that I couldn't believe, like, they had one scene where Miss Yvonne rides an electric horse.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
it's remarkably
they speed
like a
it
Sibian.
Up,
yes.
And she's moaning and uh-huh. and rubbing her hips on it. And then when it stops, smoke comes out, and she's like, ah, and she has a cigarette. Like, she just had a big orgasm on this horse. And I'm like, holy cow, I can't believe this is on Pee-wee Herman.
I remember that. But the thing is, Taryn, did you ever see any of the original Pee-wee's Playhouse before it got onto television?
I did not know it was. I thought it was on TV.
No, my friend. Oh, finally.
Share this history I do not know about Pee-wee Herman, please.
It actually started off Broadway in New York, and it was all those same characters, including Phil Hartman as John B. the Genie and all that. It was all those same characters. And this was like the early 80s, early to mid 80s. And it was filthy. It was so innuendo filled. I remember you could rent the videotapes at one point, and my mom rented them for my friend and I, who sat and watched them. We were like in eighth grade. Couldn't believe what we were watching, and we were loving it. Well, what this was it was a huge campy style takeoff of all things like children, and it was huge in the gay community. That was really who Pee-wee Herman played for when it was doing the off-Broadway thing, was the gay community. It was huge with them.
I had no idea about this history. So what happened, I imagine when Pee-wee got ridiculously popular, they mm-hmm. went and closed out the adult videos so they wouldn't get mixed up?
No, you could still rent them. In fact, I don't even think.
I mean, can you imagine going home with the wrong video?
Well, that's basically what happened. My mom went to the video store and rented them for my friend and I, and we're just like, "Thanks, Mom, this is great." Now, you know, there wasn't any nudity or anything like that.
But it was a bunch of sex jokes and stuff.
It was just like one sex joke after another. That's why I always thought it was absolutely no surprise that Paul Reubens got caught years later, you know, jerking his thing in the adult movie theater. He was always a dirty pervert. He always will be. And that's one of the reasons why I love him. And that's why I, Brian Hagan, am the leader of the Pervetarian Party.
I would love to get him on. We'll see if we can get him on the show. Because, you know, he also was on the Cheech and Chong movies. He was the Hamburger
yeah.
Man. Hamburger Man. Remember the Hamburger Man
yes,
in Night's Dreams?
He was the Hamburger Man in a Summer Nights or whatever that one was called. Sweet Dreams. Sweet Dreams.
Yeah, Nice
Dreams. Nice Dreams.
Nice Dreams, where they went around the ice cream truck and they sold big, gigantic joints.
Yes.
Out of the ice cream truck.
Then he played which was funny because they alluded to this years later in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, his big screen debut directed by Tim Burton. He played a concierge at a hotel in one of the Cheech and Chong movies. I can't remember which one.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why he also played like a bellhop or whatever when he was playing himself in the movie, within the movie, which was Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Well, we have now successfully lost everybody who was listening to the show as we have recounted the entire history of
Pee-wee Herman history.
Paul Reubens and Pee-wee Herman.
And honestly, I just cannot believe that him masturbating in the theater was such a big career-ending deal.
No, me either.
You know, I just couldn't believe it. It took him years to get back. Like, now he does a voice in Tron.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the new Tron cartoon. He does a bunch of voice work now.
Well, and if you remember, I'll never forget, after that arrest came in, and, you know, he was arrested. It was in a Florida movie theater. He was arrested by the same guy who arrested Two Live Crew.
Wow, didn't know that.
Exact same guy who arrested Two Live Crew, same sheriff. He went in, it was in, I can't remember what county. But anyway, he went in, he raided all the record stores. Two Live Crew was a filthy rap band of the late 80s, early 90s. He raided and took all of them, burned their records. He arrested them when they played
in Florida.
They
weren't allowed to have a concert.
Exactly. Well, he was the exact same guy who arrested Paul Reubens when he was jerking it in the movie theater. And I guarantee you this. I guarantee you this sheriff is a dirty, filthy pervert. He probably wears women's thong underwear and fishnets. And that's why he just couldn't stand that anybody else was. Anybody who's that big on bringing down somebody in an adult theater, doing what you do in an adult theater, is a filthy pervert themselves. Don't question it. It's just a fact. They're doing something slimy behind the scenes, and they can't stand it because somebody else is doing it too, and they're only breaking and they're only busting them to make themselves look better. Elliot Spitzer, I'm talking to you, you hooker-loving governor or whatever the heck you were.
It does seem very J. Edgar Hoover-like, you know, where he goes after everyone that's different, and he's completely he messed up himself. J. Edgar Hoover was a mess.
Well, and I just said the other day, Taryn, I don't know if you saw this, but on my Facebook page, I like to spark conversation over there, and I had posted, there is no way, and of course there are a number of reasons why I have little respect for the FBI, but there's no way that I could ever respect the FBI when they operate out of a headquarters named after such a worthless fool as J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah, for you guys that don't know, J. Edgar Hoover, basically, what did he was the head of the FBI through, I think, 5 or 6 presidents.
Yes.
And the way he kept his job was he spied on all the upcoming presidents and just owned them with information. Was like, I will bury you if you try to fire me. And he was the most powerful man in the country. He ruled the presidents. No one could fire him. And he did whatever he wanted. It was just really, really dirty pool, really.
It was, and you could make the argument that he really was the one controlling the country for all intents and purposes.
He could get rid of a president pretty easy. He had enough dirt on everybody that they let him do whatever he wanted and never questioned it.
I mean, look, this jerkwad was spying on everybody from Martin Luther King to Malcolm X to John Lennon. This guy was, I don't know what his problem was. We know for a fact that he dressed in women's clothing. We know for a fact that he had a relationship with a man, and I'm not saying that he was, I'm not trying to say that being gay makes you nuts. I'm not trying to say that, but he sounds very confused because his public face was one thing, and then he's dressing in women's clothing. Most homosexual men do not do that, yet he's still having an affair with a man. It just sounds like he was out of his head, and here he is leading the number one law enforcement agency in this country. And flash forward all these years later, this jerkwad's name is the name of the FBI headquarters. So why would we want to honor someone like that by naming their headquarters after him? That makes no sense to me. We know for a fact how corrupt he was. We know for a fact how awful he was. Why would we not want to bury that and start anew? How can you respect a law enforcement agency that operates in a building honoring a nutbag?
Well, I think that's pretty much the par for most politicians. Look how many things are named after George Bush, or how many things are named after Clinton, or even your local senator. Like, I lived in West Virginia for a long time, and Senator Byrd had his name on everything, all of his pet projects, every bridge, every school. I mean, it was all over. Something like over 100 things were Senator Byrd. And, you know, all he's doing is taking stolen tax dollars to give to his friends to make whatever project they want, and they're rewarding him for that, like he's some sort of hero. you know, politicians, ugh.
Naming
themselves.
It absolutely sickens me, though, Taryn, that we can, we are expected as the little underlings that we are, as the little slaves that we are, to respect these individuals just because they have these fancy titles, yet they operate out of a building of a cross-dressing guy who spied on everyone from presidents to musicians.
Back it up, though. Yeah. Hey, man, what's wrong with cross-dressing?
Oh,
I got no problem with that.
Nothing. No, I have no problem with cross-dressing whatsoever.
My issue was, didn't he openly have issues with the gay community and try to suppress the gay community, yet he had a gay lover?
Well, that's my point, Taryn. You know,
Hypocrisy is something you can call out. I don't care if you're gay or not.
Well, no. And I think that was the point that I've been trying to make all along, is the fact that, you know, he would cross-dress, he would have gay relationships, yet at the same time, these are the individuals that he was targeting. These were the individuals whose lives he made absolutely miserable. You know, he would go to some of his victims and, you know, tell them just how much information he had on them. Martin Luther King Jr. is a good example of that. The FBI went to Martin Luther King Jr. and basically told him, because they knew he was having an extramarital affair, they basically told him that he should kill himself. They told him, you know what to do, i.e. kill yourself, if you don't want this information coming out and embarrassing your family. What kind of a law enforcement agency? This sounds like what we accuse the mafia of. What kind of law enforcement agency would go toward a grand man like Martin Luther King Jr. and tell him to kill himself?
Yeah, that was a mess, man. I can't even fathom all this. This is why we don't talk about liberty on this show.
Man, I have completely railroaded the show, Taryn.
No, you did just take it over and ruin our whole vibe.
I really did. I mean, we had talked earlier.
I'm pretty mad.
I know, because all of a sudden the anger in me starts coming out.
I kind of want to bring up a point about that. It seems like it's always the senators who are the harshest against the gay crowd that are secretly gay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do they hate themselves and they take it out on the public, or like, why would you get in that position and then go against what you are?
It's
over and over. It's not like one guy.
No, you see that all the time. Who was Mr. Bathroom Shoe Tapper?
Oh, the Shoe Tapper. I can't remember his name either at this point. He's already. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Some senator.
He was always trying to introduce legislation that was anti-homosexual. You know, again, Elliot Spitzer, who was, you know, all over prostitution laws, trying to, you know, prosecute everybody who ever got a hooker in their life. And here he is getting like a $20,000 a night hooker. It is. I even have a friend whose wife was married to a Republican strategist. And this guy would like, he would go to where the homosexuals would meet, like in this park or whatever, and like make fun of them and like yell things at them. Well, guess what? She ended up getting chlamydia because he was actually out doing the same thing. He was actually out meeting random men. So he's out there judging, and his public face is judgmental. Yet at night, under the cover of darkness, he doesn't even love his wife enough to wrap it up. He's out there committing gross hypocrisy by doing exactly what he claimed to hate. And it's just sick and it's maddening. And it really seems like it does fall more on the Republicans now that I think about it. But that's not to clear the Democrats, but it does seem like the Republicans in their Jesus-loving Christian sort of mongering ways, they seem to be the ones most guilty of the hypocrisy. Would you agree?
I do think that, and it's also the religious people. There's how many gay pastors were there?
Absolutely.
That got busted later, you know, and I don't know what the church has against gay people. Like, I just don't get it. It's like, you know,
Leviticus,
it's such
man.
It's such to do about nothing. You know, I just don't understand all the wasted energy and hate. It's like, who would Jesus hate? You know?
Well, and that's
I don't get it.
That's what's so funny. I'm actually in the process of reading a book right now. And there's not a lot of discussion within the liberty movement about this, but, you know, I bought the pen from Davi Barker over there at shinybadges.com, and he's not paying for that ad, but I do love his work. And I have the anarcho-Christian pen, and I'm actually reading basically the manifesto of anarcho-Christianity right now, which is The Kingdom of God is Within You by Leo Tolstoy. And it's an amazing read. And for anyone out there, and I know there's a lot of talk in the liberty movement about not liking Christianity and not liking religion at all. But if you pick up this book, and you can download it for a buck on Google Play, $1, it expresses Christianity in a way that you've never seen before, and I find it very eye-opening. There's no talk about the homosexuals. There's no talk about drinking or dancing. It's just talk about overthrowing the state, because the state is violence, the state is war, and the state is evil. And I think we need to introduce more of that into the liberty movement, at least for the discussion, Taryn.
There you go. Yeah, I would be open to having some guests on about that, but again, this show is about cats.
Well, that is true.
So we can't get too serious here. Oh,
well, I think I ruined that tonight. Well, thanks for joining us here on this very heavy edition of the Liberty Cats. We'll be right back to wrap things up on the other side of the break. I'm going to get some catnip, and I'm going to get a little looser before that.
Calm it down. Get
I might have a heart attack. This is just not good.
Buffy, darling, put down your crumpets and listen to these clever chaps. They made me chuckle so hard my monocle fell off. It would be a capital idea if you tuned in to the Liberty Cats every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 6 p.m. on Daily Paul Radio. They're our kind of people, darling. Now, excuse me, darling. I have to go roll around in all my money naked.
We are the Liberty Cats, and we really do gear this show for the highfalutin mindset. I'm Brian Hagan, along with
Taryn Lupo, and we are wearing monocles as we speak to you.
We are, and I have my top hat on, too.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. You know, I learned how to speak rich by watching Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yes, lovey. That's exactly where.
Lovey. Actually, what was it, that guy's name? I forgot his real name. Jim.
Jim Backus.
Jim Backus, yeah.
He was also in Disney's film Pete's Dragon, if you recall.
Oh, man, yeah.
Featuring Helen Reddy.
Forgot about it. Man, your knowledge is impressive. It is so impressive that you could pull that out of nowhere.
It's
of course,
sad.
I knew the whole career path of Blackula.
Yeah, that is true. And that's one of the things that we explored on this episode of the Liberty Cats on this Tuesday. We talked about Blackula and what he means to liberty. We talked about hookers and what they mean to liberty. We talked about comedians such as Rodney Dangerfield and what he means to liberty. And that's the beautiful thing. When we talk about liberty on the Liberty Cats, it's a very serious discussion every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on Daily Paul Radio. So when you gather around, it's kind of like NPR. We're going to bore you out of your mind with just how serious we are.
That's right.
And I want to remind you, too, any complaints that you have on the show, direct them to Allison Bricker at Daily Paul. If you go over to the homepage, you can find her email and all that. Allison Bricker is really the brains behind the show. She scripts each and every episode of the Liberty Cats. So if you have something negative to say, take it to Allison. If you have something positive to say, take it to us.
Yeah, she's basically going to spend the next hour talking about Pee Wee Herman too. So stay in tune here. We're going to pass off to Allison so she can have the Pee Wee Herman Remembrance Hour.
That's exactly right. I know she's done a great job preparing today's show.
She's ready.
There's going to be little audio excerpts. She even asked me if she could borrow my talking Pee Wee Herman doll. I told her no, that thing is valuable. Especially for the fact that his hand moves up and down, just like in real life. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday edition. We'll be back tomorrow. We had promised you an interesting story. Maybe we'll get to it tomorrow. Who knows? You never know what's going to happen with the Liberty Cats. We're like real cats. We do whatever we want to. You're not the boss of us. I do what I want.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.